T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know why people want them to conduct business? Because they make money off the NFL.
And who's one of those people making money? Odell!
Dale Arnold.
Mutt here.
I came up with the perfect player comp
comparison
for Zion Williamson. This is what Zion Williamson's career is going to be, according to Wiggy. Who?
Big Baby Davis.
Stop. That's such an insult.
Rich Key.
Credit Miami. They played with unbelievable intensity and togetherness tonight, and I thought that they were clearly the better team.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
You know, a draft stats, status, that stat, stock.
Yeah, I have the I'm immune to all this stuff.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. Dale is off today. Wiggy's here because it's a Wednesday. Mutt in for Dale. And the Celtics were in action last night. Oh, by the way, Willie McGinnis will join us 1 hour from now, so we'll talk some football with Willie then. But Celtics lost to the Heat, and am I still crazy for having really high expectations for the Celtics? They haven't actually looked great in the 3 games that they've been down there. They lost to the Bucks. They had to hold on to beat the Blazers after blowing a really big lead, and then they lost to the Heat without Jimmy Butler. And for some reason, I'm like, no, I think they're going to be okay. Am I crazy for that?
No, because I think when you look at NBA, right, a lot of games are decided by the talent that you have, right?
Sure.
And more
help, talent's good.
Talent's always big.
But talent,
More so in basketball than, let's say, in hockey.
Yeah, it's just easier. I mean, they play the whole game, whereas in hockey, you play whatever, a third
right.
of
and
the game.
Right, and your superstars can make major impacts in the game.
Yeah.
And when you look at, and I know you brought this up, Rich, you're their top four. I know we went from...
Oh, here we go.
Top four. They got a fantastic four is what they got.
They got
out
a fantastic
there.
Four,
all
right?
All these other teams have dynamic duos.
They might not have a dynamic duo, but they have fantastic four.
Yeah, they do. Who's the invisible woman on this team?
Yes, they have like the...
Some nights Gordon Hayward.
They have like the lower tier superheroes.
Yes.
They don't have the, you know...
No.
We're not up there in Avengers world.
No. Okay, this is like the New Mutants.
Yes!
Hello, Mutt.
What are we talking about?
You like that breakdown there?
Well, we're breaking down the Celtics in a comic book world.
Okay, so can we take some calls? Maybe some people get called.
Sure.
No,
who
good.
Are they?
So I would just point out, aren't they in the same spot they were when this thing started? They're not the Bucks. Okay, Boogie thinks they can beat the Bucks, which I guess they could. They would not.
With a healthy Kemba Walker,
they would
could
not
they beat
be
the Bucks.
Would they beat a favorite to be the Bucks?
I don't think the Bucks
well,
are as good as you think
different.
They are.
Yeah.
I think you're underrating how good
they have
are.
A really good record.
Yes,
they have a really,
usually,
really good player.
Is that a sign of a good team or a bad team?
Well,
good team.
They have
you know
a great
record.
You
count.
You know
what
a great
record?
Player.
The Atlanta Hawks for years with Al Horford. Was that a great team? No, they had a great record. Yes, because in the regular season, I don't know.
The Bucks have the best player.
They have the best player, but and I like Chris Middleton. I'm not going to dump on Chris Middleton. He's really good. But that's a big gap between Giannis and Middleton.
Oh, yeah.
And then even though they play a bunch of guys, I don't know, what are you, like the Lopez twins? You're
right.
A big Lopez twins fan?
Against like, the I'm Celtics not... team? Yes.
No, they,
against,
those against, guys stink. They don't even rebound. They're 7 foot tall.
Against Daniel
tall,
Tice and yes. Cantor? Yes.
The Lopez's don't even rebound. They never have. They never will. So I think Milwaukee.
He's a big fan of your boy from St. John's Prep there. What's the?
Oh, Connaughton or whatever?
Yeah.
Pat Connaughton.
Connaughton.
Yeah.
Him and Bledsoe.
Guy can jump.
Guy can jump out the gym.
He can jump
but
out
you,
the gym.
But you look at Giannis.
They're very beatable. Giannis has never, they've never even made the finals. So it's not like a
and
team.
You know how to defend Giannis. Or you know how to
build
slow
a wall.
Down a build,
on,
a
build a wall. Build a wall.
They didn't get to the finals yet? Or their Eastern Conference finals team a year ago? Am I wrong?
They didn't go to the NBA finals.
Okay, so they felt a game. Sure, this Celtic team, are they a group that's, as a group, gotten together and
but
gone
I'm
to
just
maybe
saying,
final?
For a team that's like so daunting to stand in your way, it was like LeBron's Heat. You knew they were going to go to the finals. Or LeBron and the Cavs. Or the Golden State Warriors for years. You're like, yeah, that's a tough team to stand in the way. I think the Celtics could beat the Bucks.
Seven
I think the Raptors
series.
Could beat the Bucks even without Kawhi
seven
Leonard.
Seven-game series. Kemba Walker's healthy, could the Celtics beat the Bucks?
They sure could.
They sure could.
I would not pick seven, to do that. But
No. But you said they could. Seven-game series, could the Celtics beat the Lakers or the Clippers?
Yes.
No. Nah, I think it would be tougher. Like I think the Clippers. No. The Clippers
It's not in the big range of outcomes, Wiggy. But yes, it
Lakers,
could happen.
Yes. They wouldn't be able to beat
Clippers.
But
that's what I mean. Like, so we all agree they're sort of in this mix of they're one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference,
yes,
and maybe a step short of being one of the best teams in the NBA. That has not changed. That has not changed in the three games.
More than a step short. I think they can easily win the East. You know, they can beat the Bucks. But I don't think they're good enough to beat the Lakers, the Clippers in a seven-game series.
And what I always thought was they were – I think the Bucks are almost underrated. But the Celtics were in a group coming in that second group of teams in the Eastern Conference that is just – that next group, whether it's Toronto,
yeah,
but probably just them in Toronto.
Philly,
I don't put
there.
Miami in there. Philly,
Philly's
they
so
the,
hard to
they have the talent,
out.
But it's been a weird team. Maybe they're one of the COVID teams that actually helps them.
Philly's
maybe
better at home, so.
And
well, they're horrible on the road. There's no home games.
There's no road games.
I don't know,
is that good or bad?
I have no idea. I have no idea if that benefits Philly or not.
Could be good.
They don't play road games.
It could be good based on how you're viewing the bubble.
Does the matchup for the Celtics matter at all in the playoffs? Because right now it would be Sixers in the first round, Raptors in the second, Bucks in the third.
I hate that Philly that run.
So
I hate the run.
Because it's all big runs.
But if you flip places with Miami, and you're the four, it would probably be Pacers in the first round, which is better than Sixers. But now you got the Bucks in the second round.
But if you guys think they can beat the Bucks, then it doesn't
matter.
Then.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter.
We'd rather face them in round two. If you think that Kemba Walker's health may be affected as this thing goes on, maybe you want to play them earlier.
So, by the way, I think Kemba, and this has been the plan all along, and it was a little concerning because, well, you're off for 4 months, and now the knee's still a problem. But played 19 minutes in the first game, looked pretty good. Played 22 minutes in the second game, looked good. Played 27 minutes last night, and now the plan is he's not going to play tonight. But if Kemba Walker was the biggest question mark going into this whole bubble thing,
you feel good about
so
it.
So far, yeah,
right.
I do.
See, to me, the Celtics struggle when they have to play a team that the team's, you know, better player is a big man, right? So with Philadelphia, their best player is Joel Embiid. They'll have issues with him, right? They'll have issues with Giannis. They won't have as many issues with the Pacers because, you know, their big man is not as good. You got, what's his name, Sabonis?
Sabonis is pretty good, but I understand.
But he's not.
The Celtics is much better than – they should be much better than Indiana. They should –
They should definitely win that series. And so, to your point, I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter when you play Milwaukee unless you think that maybe they could lose in the second round to somebody else or something like
doesn't
that.
Doesn't it come down to how Jalen Brown and Gordon Hayward are playing? Right,
because
let's say Kemba
if you give the check mark to Kemba
and Tatum, they go out there and do their thing.
The swing guys would be Jalen and Hayward.
See, it's funny because I think, and there was a really good Kemba moment last night. End of the half, you guys, to take the knee out of the basket, he fell down really awkwardly, right? Like, knee got sort of tangled up. He popped right up. So that was a good sign for Kemba. But I think Jason Tatum's the biggest key.
No.
Like,
but
Jason Tatum is playing at what we saw in the Sunday game where he dominated, took over, 30-plus points, 9 assists. You couldn't stop him at times. If he's that player,
but let's say you cancel,
they can go as far as you want him to go.
No, because say you cancel Tatum and Walker, you cancel Giannis and Middleton out, right? Like, say they cancel each other out. Granted, Giannis is the better of all four of those players.
It'll be advantage them, but, I mean, those guys, Tatum's had games where, I mean, they can keep that matchup somewhat close.
It's close enough where you can, you know, have a puncher's chance with them four.
I think Hayward's probably actually, if you're picking one guy, is more of a swing guy for them, because when he looks good, the team's pretty
good. He looked good last night.
Doesn't it come down to the Lopez twins, Pat Connaughton, Eric Bledsoe versus your Jalen Brown and Gordon Hayward?
See, it's funny you talk about canceling out. I don't view it as that. Like, you can't – I think there's less likely that Giannis and Middleton will be canceled out in a series than Tatum and Jalen Brown might be canceled out, not live up to whatever their best is. You need your best players in these series to play at their best. And I think there's a better chance that Middleton and Giannis do that than Tatum and Brown.
You don't think Tatum could average 25 points a night through a seven-game series versus Milwaukee.
I am not as confident in that as I am as Giannis doing
that.
He could.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
he could. 100%. But
because Giannis is going to do that, right?
Yes.
Giannis
can probably average more than that.
I guess
he'll
the Celtics are going to be like 29, 30 points.
But
they'll
he's going to
have to. They'll be able to. And then you're going to have Kemba Walker, who's going to be somewhere between 22 and 25.
Yeah.
And the same with Middleton. So those guys will, in essence, cancel each other out. Granted, Giannis will have a little bit better than anybody you got. But then it's going to come down to how is Jaylen Brown playing and how is Gordon Hayward playing?
Right. Because who's the third best player on the Bucks?
Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah. Okay. Then I'll, you know what? Terry Rozier outplayed him a couple of years ago.
Right.
So I'll take my chances if Eric Bledsoe is your third
best
player.
But that's what it's going to be like versus anybody you play against, right? You play against Toronto. It's going to be, you're going to be able to cancel out Siakam and Kyle Lowry,
yeah,
which your two
now
bigs.
You got the big fellow. They got their big fellows. They got Fred Van Fleet. I mean, that's a good. I mean, Toronto's.
They got a,
people
know,
are sleeping on Toronto.
Now, how do your bigs,
right,
Tice, Cantor,
that's
play against.
That's
so that's a huge
Serge
issue.
Ibaka,
I mean,
and
Gasol. That's a tough cancel out, right?
Tice and Cantor are limited.
Right, and that's where you're going to struggle. Against against Toronto, you're going to struggle because of Gasol and Siakam.
And Marcus Smart can't do everything. You got Marcus Smart guarding Bam Adebayo
last
night.
Oh, he fouled out.
Third quarter? We're playing four quarters down here. I know it's neutral site here.
Marcus Smart,
I don't know what happened to Smart.
Marcus Smart is, he's a good player. He's a Tommy points player. Is that the, no, he's a Tommy Award player. Is that what he gives out? Hustling on the ball, taking a few charges.
When he did games, he would yell out, that's a Tommy point.
Yeah, he seems Tommy like point. He's losing his mind a little bit. So he got fined for talking about the refs, which, whatever, I don't think it was fine. He was frustrated about it. But now he's getting fouled out in the game. As Mutt mentioned earlier, he's like screaming at the ref, you're out of the right. game. You're done. You're
he's
done.
He's putting his jersey
done.
On and dropping F-bombs at the guys right. he's
it's
putting
It's basically
his-
an exhibition game. And I love the competitive nature, but it's like, what are you doing? Like, he doesn't seem to be.
Well, it's because for some reason Brad said, hey, listen, you can play like Kobe Bryant. It allows him to do a lot of things, especially on the offensive side of the court.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, you're just like, really? He'll throw some up like, why'd you shoot that? It'll go in, and then it's like there's no kind of punishment to that.
You can rip on Smart and Brad, but don't you feel like that's the league? I mean, I watching that
it's
game
the league,
last night.
It's the way they play.
The second quarter last night.
Let it fly.
So my high noon hot take
would have
been.
Yeah, I don't mind
been,
if you let it fly.
Oh, wait a minute.
NBA related. Oh, I thought
so this is a high noon hot take?
Let's say
it's close enough, Mont. Do you want
to? Sure, go for
four
it.
Or
go
after. This better work. Wiggy really let us down on Monday with his.
Well, mine was pretty good.
It was all right.
There's
too many caveats, though.
Oh.
It was like,
close to high noon. High noon.
High noon. It's high noon o'clock somewhere.
Cue the high noon music.
Give me my high noon music.
So, the second quarter last night was the worst quarter of basketball I've ever seen in the NBA.
The worst quarter
of basketball
I've
ever seen in the
NBA.
Did
you watch the Knicks Heat in the late 90s?
I like the defense. I like Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah,
I like Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
I like, not Ron Harper. Who am I thinking of? Derek Harper.
Derek Harper.
Really
a big point guard. That was a big fella.
I can do mid-90s NBA all day with
him. Let's go.
He's going to start dropping Ronnie Cycling.
And it was
minute.
That way. Cycling the ball. Him and Harold Miner.
Nice player. Were, Baby Jordan.
Not terrible in NBA Jam.
He was pretty good in that one dunk contest, Harold Miner.
You guys big Clarence Weatherspoon fans.
So, getting back to the current day of the NBA.
Correct.
It was bad because every time a Heat or Celtic player was open from anywhere near three-point land, they were just jacking it up. And so I know it's 22 and some, whatever the three-point line is, and we're all shooting them now. The NBA's got to move the stupid three-point line back.
Move it back.
Because guys,
hot take.
Guys.
Oh, doctor. Get the tweets ready.
Too easy of a shot
move
right now.
Move the three-point
shot
back.
Second quarter last night was just, it was run down. Three-point shot.
Add
run
a
down,
four-point
three
shot.
Shot. Run
that,
down,
wouldn't that
shot.
Mean that you'd
impossible
have to make the
to watch
court
that
bigger?
Second quarter. Second point of the hot take, Wiggy. Court needs to be bigger.
Oh, he's changing the court size.
The NBA court is the same size it was when Tommy Heitzen was the biggest guy in the NBA.
The Kuz?
Now these guys are monsters. Make the floor bigger. I need more room along the baseline
like
quarter
European
there.
It's like European hockey.
And I need
the ice
a three-point line
hockey?
Backed up.
You going 11-foot
hoops?
4 inches.
No, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
No, not jock jams.
Let's not go crazy.
Not rock and jock, okay?
No. So the baseline is going to be,
I need
the courts be wider.
I don't know what the exact dimension is. The court needs to be bigger.
You can run behind the basket
up.
Now.
I think
it's not doing that.
You're
taking my high noon
high
take, and you're ruining
feet.
It.
There's going to be one spot on the court that shot is worth 15 points. We're going to put a little circle down on the floor. There's one shot. Wiggy, do you have this?
NBA court size.
It's 15 points, but it's only when you're on the road and in the third quarter. And then you let it fly. by there, and you have to be down by 20. Okay. And then you can go ahead and just right from there.
This is why you can't bring up grown-up topics in front of Keith. So, he turns into the kiddie table. That's what happens.
So NBA court dimensions. Yeah. 94.
What do you have?
94 by 50 feet.
You can shut the gun music off now as the high takes over.
All right. So 94 by 50 feet. So we have to make the court bigger. So what are we talking about? Another 10 feet?
100 by 60?
I'd like to experiment. Can we do that in the preseason?
Did you guys see when they were playing Portland, they mentioned Damian Lillard from more than 30 feet away shoots 43%.
That's Dame Dollar.
He shoots 43% from more than 30 feet
away. A bigger court wouldn't do anything for him.
Because they were saying that a lot of these guys, including Lillard, have started shooting from way behind the line, just so when they do shoot at the line, it's an easier shot, mm-hmm. right? Like, just, you know, common sense. You're like, oh, this is even closer, and you start making those. But then they're making such a high percentage, guys like Curry and Lillard from, like, way deep, mm-hmm. and they're like, I'll just shoot from here. And so now defenses don't know what to do. They're like, do we really guard this guy? It's half court.
Because the league before, if you miss a three, it was like a bad thing. Now they don't care.
They don't care.
Which is why Brad Stevens doesn't care if Marcus Smart or Semi Ojeleye or Brad Wanamaker. Well, that's the nerds.
The nerds got
I'm
in
not
there.
Gonna go all Rich Keefe on you and make fun of your high
move. I actually like it
and I like it. I would open.
Do you think I care?
I would make the court bigger, right? But I would also add that four-point shot in, right?
Adam Silver's talked about the four-point shot.
So
he likes it.
I don't hate it.
You don't hate it?
I don't want one spot on the floor, though.
Curry, not one spot on the floor.
70 points a game.
Not one spot on the floor. Like, where if you make the court bigger, you extend the regular three-point line a little bit.
And then you add another three-point.
Like, very similar to how they have the high school three-point line and a college one on a basketball court. Yeah. You could see both of them.
Lots of lines.
I like that. And then maybe what that does with the bigger court, it then brings down the three-point percentage because the line has moved back. You know, four-point percentage shots are not very high. And then we bring back...
No, but they'll become high. And then the stat people are going to say, definitely shoot fours. Just shoot fours. Why are you shooting a three? Now the threes will go away, and it'll only be fours. That's what 100% what will happen.
So
the mid-range jumper, you know, it's what happened. The lost art.
So how do we get away from what we saw in the second quarter?
All right, so then here's
jack
how you
three
get,
after jack
how,
three
here,
after jack
here's
three.
How you get away from it.
I don't know.
I think the
whole league's doing it.
It's not enjoyable to watch.
I think you're right.
Mike,
I believe you're right. You have to make the court bigger, and you have to move the three-point line back. You got to make the three-point shot a way lower percentage shot than it is right now. So you have to make that line, you have to make that 3-point line further. So where teams are going, you know what? It's really not worth
it. The stats say it's worth it now.
Yes, right. So that's the only way. And then maybe
I don't know how
maybe
you
that
do
brings
it.
The big man back to the game. You know, maybe that brings the odd of a low of seeing guys in the low post doing some stuff, and now you can utilize a big man. Because you can't utilize a big man no more.
I don't know how it works, though.
So this is how your stupid show turns my high noon hot take into
it's not always
a cartoon.
Stupid.
So they tweeted out, NBA needs to move the three-point line back, make the court bigger. I agree.
Yeah.
Says that I suggested that he should be able to run behind the basket.
That was you.
A 15-point shot, I did not suggest.
That was you, I remember.
Each team gets one Looney Tunes
guy. Right, one guy. Who do you want? Do you want the Tasmanian Devil? It really depends on who you're playing. Maybe you want Marvin the Martian. Maybe you want Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens is now drawing up plays where not only are you coming off picks, but you can go behind the basket.
You run behind the hoop and then Daffy Duck tags
like, Use the hoop as an obstruction.
You're the shield, you're like playing horse now. You're like behind the hoop.
Well, there was a time in the NFL
where
there's
some
they,
good takes, though.
But the top two are real takes. The NFL used to have the goalposts like in the front of the end zone.
Right, so he's
you'd smash into like going rugby. There'd be some great. If you go to the old NFL films, there are guys going across the middle getting tackled by the goalpost.
So he's going all Bob Cousy and dribbling out the clock from behind the basket.
He's dribbling around in a circle. Stop him! Stop him! Like Harlem Globetrotters, just take over.
I think if you want,
there's some good changes in there. You know, a couple good tweaks.
Shut up. I do agree with you that the 3-point shot now the loss, and that's why I give Tatum some credit. Because the art of the mid-range game...
It's gone.
But if you can
You know what they call DeMar DeRozan? The lone mid-ranger.
Right, but if you... but if you have a mid-range game, I think you're way...
Yikes.
I think you're so much more valuable.
That's what the show's about.
Has anybody got any gum?
Been hanging out with Andy Hart.
It's an Andy Hart line. Her one.
By the way, Fitzy will be with us tomorrow.
Right. So there'll be a lot of those. But I really do. I miss the mid-range game play, and I think that's why Jason Tatum has.
Well, you say that you do, but re-watching or watching The Last Dance and they would show highlights of the 90s basketball, which to me at the time was the greatest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But remember that one game? Didn't the Utah Jazz score like 2 points in a quarter in like a finals game?
Pretty good.
Yeah, wasn't the final score like 70-60? And I'm like, I loved this. So I mean, if it's one or the other, I guess I'll take now. But I get your point. Sometimes just the three-point contest that the game turns into is a bit much because
so repetitive.
You know you have these super, super athletic guys.
Right.
Why not take somebody utilize off the dribble and do that yes. kind of thing? And
that's,
you're right.
That's why I get frustrated with Jaylen Brown at times. You're an unbelievable athlete. Get to the front of the rim.
Well, and that's where Hayward's at his best because Hayward's not, I mean, the best three-point shooter.
No.
And sometimes he's open and he hits his little set shot. But when Hayward's going to the basket, he's a completely different player.
Right.
And I feel like sometimes they're like, yeah, I could do that, or I can just launch a three from out here.
And that's why I think Tatum could be in one of those positions of maybe getting to a top 10 player in the NBA someday because he has the ability to take you to the rim. He has the ability to work that mid-range jump shot, and he has the ability to be a decent three-point shooter. Right? Not everybody's going to be Steph Curry and be lights out from behind the three-point line.
Well, no, and that's why
that's the problem. Everybody thinks they are. Like Kelly Olynyk is no green light, wide open.
Well, that's the coach.
When Aaron Baines was shooting multiple threes in a game for this team, you're like, all right.
Well, that's the coach.
That's the league.
Well, but Brad Stevens should know better. Like Marcus, this is not you got a minimum of 4 3-pointers a game. If you go over that, you're sitting the bench the rest of the game.
But they can't afford to do that.
Or maximum.
Because that means Brad Wanamaker's playing. They can't do that with him.
Wanamaker's got to get out there. He's got to get his burn.
Well, it starts at AAU, man. We need to change the AAU game.
Oh, okay.
Get it back to the fundamentals.
Five
passes.
Start the floor.
No, not five passes.
Four passes.
My team is on the floor.
But no, it becomes now the NBA is a three-point shootout. And if you're not on that night, you're going to lose
games. You look at some of the recent MVPs in the league,
mm-hmm.
Giannis and Russell Westbrook can't shoot threes.
But they can get to the rim.
Right.
But I'm saying
that's a good thing because so many kids they would see Curry and they're like, that's how I want to do it. Curry and Thompson, that's how I'm going to do it. And then it's just you have this wave of three-point shooters.
Don't go
but Giannis and Westbrook, at least you can be productive by taking the
unless you're 6'11", or you can jump out of the gym like Russell Westbrook.
A couple of skill sets you got to work on maybe. Right. You know, do those calf raises.
You got to do those. Do they still sell
those shoes?
The white shoes with the things you got to walk on your tippy toes?
Oh, my God. What were those called? It's going to bug me now.
I don't know what they were.
I don't know.
But
Jimmy had them on Seinfeld, remember?
Yeah.
Jimmy, what? Jimmy
was on a date.
I felt like people got them, and then you just try to borrow them from your buddy.
Could you do me a favor, guys, in the other room? Could you look this up?
So even though your buddy's a size 13 and you're a size 10, you are still walking around in
the same thing.
Hey, can I borrow those shoes for 15 minutes?
Willie McGinnis is going to join us at 1 o'clock when we come back. Some news out of college football. Not good news for Mutt's alma mater.
No, not at all.
But Wiggy might not be freaking out, and he'll tell you why. You can join us as well, 617-779-7937. It is Dale and Keefe with Mutt and Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
I said the lights get too bright, the booty holes get too tight
on WEEI.
That's what it is.
Breaking news from the world of college football, and this is one to keep a close eye on. UConn football has suspended its program for the 2020 season because of the coronavirus. UConn went 2-10 last year.
Here to throw the record in there, Mike. That didn't seem a little unnecessary.
Typical Anderson. Typical.
UConn football not happening this fall. But I was surprised both of you guys were like, I thought both of you'd be upset about it. And you're like, actually, not going to really signal the next wave of teams bagging out.
Well, first, as Clay Travis calls him, one of John's favorites, Clay Travis.
Yeah, he's one. I go to him for my coronavirus.
So do I.
News.
The Wiggy Corona Bros, like Mike Greenberg, they will treat this like, oh my God, COVID-19 shut down the UConn football season. Whereas in reality, they were going from the AAC, that dog crap conference.
Yeah, that is rough.
To independent. They already lost 5 teams off their schedule. They were probably going to lose 2 or 3 more. They probably would have had 2 or 3 games at most. They weren't going to make money. They were looking for a reason to stop their year. COVID didn't stop necessarily. Well, the safety of COVID didn't. But the reality of COVID and their football schedule stopped
the football season. The fact that they're independent hurt them. That's
big
what
time.
Really stopped them from playing football.
Because Notre Dame was at least able to jump into the ACC.
In the ACC, which you're probably still trying to figure out what's going to happen with BYU. I heard some Big 12 possibilities there. But with UConn and also UMass, who's an independent team as well, their problem is, especially UConn, they don't really have a conference that they can jump into. So, and you brought up a great point, Mutt. You just look at their schedule, right? You got Virginia on your schedule. You got UNC on your schedule. You have Maine on your schedule. And you know Maine is already pretty much there in the CAA.
And all that, the teams you would have played are playing in conferences, Wiggy, that said we're not playing out-of-conference games this year. We're playing 10-game seasons. Like, this is not.
So where are they going to go? They're just not going to have any games.
You know,
so you bring all these kids into practice, and then they play two games. So it's like you might as well pull the plug on it.
It is kind of crazy that this is the headline today, and the Colorado State story is not the headline. Because to me, if you want to be fearful about college football,
that should be the headline.
A current football player who didn't want to remain anonymous said the following. I believe there's a cover-up going on at CSU, but they could only cover it up so long. Now we have so many cases across athletics talking about COVID. They can't cover it up anymore. It's not about the health and safety of players, but about trying to make money off the players. An athletic department staff member, again, off the record. There are some red flags in the athletic department, but the common denominator with the administration is to protect the coaches before the student athletes, and that makes them feel like cattle more than student athletes.
There were a bunch of players who took to Twitter to basically say, this is all a lie, all fake news, put your names on it, that type of thing. So, this is going to be one of those things because, right, when you think about the coronavirus and how it affects sports, besides the non-bubble sports, everybody is under a microscope. We already know what's going on with baseball. You know, the NFL is starting to come back, and I think it's going to be a little bit easier for the NFL, even though they're a non-bubble sport, because they only play once a week. So it's similar to college football. College football said, we're doing only conference-only games. You got to test these guys twice a week.
But don't you think it's tough because there's already concern about trusting adults, professional adults, to all do the right thing. And now these college football teams, they have like 100 guys on the team between 18 and 22.
Right.
And for a full season for them to just sort of...
How about this quote, though? Multiple CSU football players told ESPN a position coach told other players on the team to hide symptoms of COVID because, quote, we can't afford it, end quote, as a team.
Right.
So if this is happening, then forget. I mean, this is
the optics man flying, a huge optics man.
And
Pandering man is loving this right now.
College
just sitting there saying, "Cancel the season."
College athletes have never had so much power. They can tweet something out, I forget exactly who the player's name was, but the coach who is mad at Mike Gundy,
Chuba Hubbard,
for wearing OAN network. I apologize.
Yeah, the star running back on the team,
the pro Trump news network, and was upset about that. He almost got Mike Gundy fired. Mike Gundy had to apologize for wearing a News Network's t-shirt. College athletes never had so much power.
But I think in this case, it's a little different because you have a large group of people that college athletes that play for Colorado State that are instantly taking to social media and saying this is a lie, right? So now is it the truth or is what's going on here? Because there were reports that the coaches, with Steve Adazio, who's now the head coach of Colorado State, used to be at BC, they're saying, well, he's walking around, doesn't want to wear his mask. Like you said, there was one kid who had clear signs of being sick. He was coughing, and he was still in practice. So that's not a good look because now.
No.
But what that will do is just make the NCAA now crack down on these schools to say, hey, listen, you can't be doing this, you can't be doing that. But there's always that other side where there was a player who said, hey, I had symptoms, and they told me don't come to practice.
And this one, too. ESPN was told by a source in a meeting Adazio had. So the CDC, they still have this 14-day recommendation on quarantine. And Adazio reportedly said, I know the CDC recommends 14 days. We're going to try to come back early.
Wait a minute, that sounds
like a football coach,
100%
record, football guy.
Rub some dirt on it.
But of course, college kids are going to get freaked out and tweet that out. And so, Wiggy, you're right. Maybe some players will come to their defense, but there, once that string is out there, you just start pulling on it, pulling on it. And to me, this is a bigger story than UConn football not playing.
I think the reason why they tagged the UConn football being a huge story is because UConn becomes the first FBS school,
you're right.
To say we are not playing.
Yeah, because this isn't the Patriot League. This isn't the
CAA.
It's not the
FCS. It's the first major FBS school to come out and go, we are canceling our 2020 season.
I still think it's going to be difficult, though, because all these schools still have to figure out whether they're even going to have kids on campus or if it's going to be at-home learning. And then
but
are the football players there?
I think that it seems like most of these schools are going to have some type of kids on campus, and that's all you need, right? So it's similar in high school sports. If you do a hybrid-type schedule, and I know your wife's a teacher, right? If you do a hybrid-type of schedule, doesn't that lead? Isn't that enough for you to say, okay, we can now have sports because these kids are on campus?
Yeah.
So you could figure it out from college. It's the same thing. So if a school says, all right, we're only going to allow 40% of our students to come back in the fall, then that will then allow them to have a fall sports season, not just for football, but that'll allow fall sports to take place. So that's what a lot of schools are doing. I don't think you're going to see any college FBS schools cancel because most of them are going to conference-only play. Even the non-Power Fives, you're starting to see Conference USA. Mm-hmm. I know, Mike, you talked about the AAC. There's some other schools, the Sun Belt.
Well, speaking of the Power Five, the Big Ten announced they're going to play a 10-game conference-only schedule.
Yep.
And it's going to begin on September 3rd.
Yeah.
So they're going to start the week before the NFL starts. And I know college football normally does. I'm just saying in these times. So less than a month from now, you think we're going to have Big Ten college football games on TV?
I hope that seems crazy. Because here's what you're seeing. In college football, you're seeing a lot of kids, you know, different programs testing positive. You know, you're having a few.
Oh, my God. Clemson had like a third.
Right,
of their
but
team.
That was at the beginning.
Yeah.
Rutgers just had another few outbreaks, maybe like 15 players or something along those lines. You'll see that. But then it's going to be how these teams move forward, like with Clemson. You haven't heard anything about Clemson. I know Oklahoma just put something out that in the past 4 weeks they've had zero positive tests. So I don't think there's – as long as you can keep the numbers down where you're not having a team, multiple teams having 30 guys test positive, I think college football has enough guys to say, okay, we've quarantined this and we're able to move forward and play.
You're a Pandering Man expert, so help me out through one part of this. So I feel like Pandering Man is going to be more of an impact on college football than NFL football because they're getting paid to play. They know the rights. And I say that because, and again, this is one story, but you guys have read the story about Deborah Rucker, whose son is an offensive lineman in Indiana.
Yeah, I saw
it. He did this have no fear, live my life, no fear, then got COVID and had breathing problems and had to get a trip to the ER. She posted on Facebook, after 14 days of hell battling this horrible virus, the school did additional testing on all those that were positive. My son and I received extra tests because he's one of the worst cases. Now we're dealing with possible heart issues.
Right.
He's still experiencing additional symptoms, and his blood work is indicating additional problems. Bottom line, she said, even if your son's school does everything to protect them, they, and this is all caps with two exclamation points, can't protect them. And I feel like Optics Man, Pander Man, whatever, when it's like a kid's mom in college,
right? They're going to tell you look at
things
that.
Down.
Oh, yeah.
More
right.
than
Definitely.
NFL player testing.
Right? They're going to tell you to look at that. But if you really go back to that, the kid when he tweeted that "Live life
not in fear,"
he doesn't say anything about the virus, and that was from like 3 days ago. Really? Right. And yes, if you go back, you know, because really? That's what the great world
the headline
of
will get you.
Social
the
media. Because if you go back and you look at it, they because they were calling out, oh man, there was some blue check mark guy that did the report. Dan
Corona bro.
Dan Wolken.
Dan Wolken is all time.
Dan Wolken.
Clay Travis.
Oh my God.
Clay Travis and
he stinks.
The Travians. Came for him about
it's not really that catchy.
No, well, I don't know. I was trying to figure something.
Great.
It's not like the Beehive.
It's not.
So they came for him, and that was part of it, like the tweet. But yeah, Panther Man is going to say, "Look at this, right?" He's going to get Dale and Ken and Fitzy and the rest of the guys to completely ignore all the positive stuff and go, "Why are we not focused on what's the mother's name there?"
Deborah Rucker.
Why are we not focused on what Deborah Rucker's talking about, her son?
Yeah.
What about all the other kids that that were on the team?
That aren't being hospitalized.
That aren't being hospitalized.
They're fighting through it in 2 weeks and they're healthy.
And if you go back and you look at that, especially the Indiana one, there were multiple kids that, and she, I think the mother even goes, says it, that he was one of the only kids on his team that tested positive that had dealt with bad symptoms, right?
Yes.
The rest of them were all fine.
Yeah.
But Panda and Man don't want you to see that.
No. You know. William McGinnis will join us at 1 o'clock. It is Dale and Keefe with Mutt and Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Come on. It's a Wiggy Wednesday on Dale and Keefe.
That can go both ways.
On WEEI.
Let's go.
We got William McGinnis coming up at 1 o'clock. In the meantime, as Mutt and Wiggy are here, Dale is off. The wrestler or former wrestler Marty Jannetty is trending. And so anytime you see somebody trending now, it's either they are dead or they have coronavirus.
Or it's their birthday.
Or the occasional it's their birthday.
Oh, wait a second. Or they're canceled. I mean, a lot of times guys trending, it's like, okay.
Or I would say canceled that, then what was the last thing you said?
Dead, canceled, coronavirus.
And coronavirus. Those are the top three.
Also, you'll occasionally get the, why are they trending? And then the Denzel gif of them, oh, they're alive. Like that, like, oh, like that one.
Like
and
where he pats on his chest.
And then it's a series it's a series of tweets being like, I'm not really sure why Robert Downey's trending, but he was great in Iron Man. And
he's
like,
trending because everyone's wondering why he's trending.
He's trending because
it's a chicken
trending.
Or the egg situation.
It is a bizarre thing. This, not the case. This is option like E, I suppose, as Marty Jannetty, the former wrestler, former tag team partner of Shawn Michaels, he took to Facebook.
You always say it's the Rockers. Why do you not the say Rockers. One of the great all-time like 80s, 90s
he
tag
was,
teams?
But I think of him more getting smashed through the barbershop. The great heel turn of all time, Shawn Michaels, sweet chin music to Marty Jannetty. Jannetty takes to Facebook. So people have kind of screen grabbed it and then taken it to Twitter. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but basically he's kind of admitting to a murder when he was 13. He's now 60 years old.
You can kind of admit to a murder?
Yeah, I think there's a statute of limitations on it.
So maybe there is. He said, I never told no one this, even my brother Gino, because Gino would have killed him, and I didn't want my brother gone. He'd only recently come back from Vietnam. I was 13, working at Victory Lane's bowling alley, buying weed from a homophobic slur that worked there. And okay. He put his hands on me. He dragged me around to the back of the building. He gets into a little bit more detail. He goes, then, full stop, next paragraph. That was the first time I made a man disappear.
Mm.
They never found him. They should have looked in the Chattahoochee River.
Ooh, Chattahoochee.
But blah, 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 he goes on. And he's really like upset with his wife or girlfriend. And
girlfriend.
Okay, Jamaican descent. We know that.
Yes.
She's a Jamaican woman.
Yes. And apparently she had Jamaican jealousy is what he refers to it here as well.
That's never good.
And then
I told you, Marty, don't do that no more. You're texting too many of these girls here, Marty.
So we actually do have audio. There it is of Marty Jannetty getting into a bit of
it was him and his girlfriend. She left the...
So, I mean, pretty fair to say he killed somebody and
I would
somebody's... I feel like more people. That was the very first time I made a man disappear.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like he's got a little blood on his hands,
which would signal there's
That's others. A confession. That is.
Hold on a
knock
second.
On the door. Whoop whoop. Is that police outside? Hey, Marty, can you answer a couple questions for me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm Chris Hansen coming in, and I'm asking: is it self defense if someone tries to sexually assault you when you kill that person?
I think.
Okay, so it's clear.
If
the Rockers are clear, they're back. Rockers back.
They're not back, Mutt, because, again, if that is the only murder, okay, I am all on board with the self-defense. 13 years old, also pretty crazy part of the story, but whatever. And if this person, if it's true what he was trying to do to poor young Marty Jannetty, then I am on Marty Jannetty's side.
Right.
But what about these other missing people?
Well, we
How
don't
did
know.
You make all these people disappear?
Well, I think
disappear?
First things first in the first 48.
Here we go.
Now we have a location, right?
Yeah, so I would go to that Chattahoochee River
which the
ASAP.
Within the first 48 hours.
I'm getting there
Chattahoochee
soon.
River forms the southern half of the Alabama and Georgia border, as well as portion of Florida. So we need to
you
make
got
sure.
some ground to cover, it sounds
well,
like.
We know Marty Jannetty is from the Georgia area, so make sure that we're looking in the Chattahoochee River
all
there.
Right.
And we're probably looking for some bones.
Wait. I think we got to be
human remains.
Some yeah. Now this was a long time ago. This was 47 years ago.
Oh yeah. So if he just threw him in the river, he's probably maybe there's got to be some human remains.
I'm sure the Chattahoochee is loaded with human remains.
It's probably mostly bones.
Yeah.
Or the first thing we
hair.
Go. Here's what I would do: is missing persons from around that time that worked at Victory Lane's bowling alley.
I'm going right to the source.
Ooh, the clock starts ticking
I was gonna
the
say.
Moment they are called.
Right. I'm going to Victory Lane's.
Right.
I'm picking up the phone real quick. I go, hey, Marty, what else do you got to confess? Seems like he's got some other things he wants to get off his chest a little bit, too.
So this would actually be the first 48 years, not the first 48 hours.
Yeah, different story.
47 years ago.
Takes a little while.
But still, you know, some of cases, man, it takes time. You got to build a case.
Is it a cold case?
This is a cold case. Oh, yeah.
Well, no, technically, this is not a cold case unless we find out that there's been a missing persons for a person that went missing in that area.
Doesn't name the person, 40 by the
something
way.
Years ago.
No, doesn't but he does give you enough clues there. He worked at Victory Lanes.
And he sold weed.
He sold marijuana.
Yes, he did.
The wacky tobacco, as the kids call it.
What D-Boys drug dealers did we have selling weed out of Victory Lanes? Let's say 40. What do you say? When he was 13. So Marty,
let's turn back the clock.
How old is Marty Jannetty?
He's 60.
So he's 60. So you do the math.
What 47 years ago.
47 years ago. Who were the weed dealers at Victory?
I don't know if you're finding that information.
It's not hard.
You don't think so?
I think that's pretty easy. And did any one of them have
disappear?
Been missing?
Right.
Hold on. Is Victory Lanes still
have
there?
Have they been gone? Actually, Shime, you might need to pick up the phone here and call Victory Lanes.
Yes.
You'd be like, listen, just got a tip. We're just curious, what were you guys doing 47 years ago? And did you have an employee disappear? Because I have a pretty good idea where he might be.
What's the name? Killed some guy who sold me some weed.
There's a body.
It's Alan Jackson right there.
Marty Jannetty.
And we know
clear conscience.
What state was this in? Good.
Marty Jannetty was an amateur wrestler in the state of Georgia. Qualified for the state championship tournament in his last 3 years of high school.
I don't know how that helps us.
So
well, because
I
we can now.
Victor,
you can Google Victory Lanes in the Columbus, Georgia area, and I get nothing.
Nothing.
Well, maybe it was.
Do we think now? I
there are multiple Victory Lanes bowling alleys across the country,
but in Georgia,
temporary closed in the New Hampshire Vermont border.
Oh, really?
Room 111 in Victory Lanes.
Maybe the one in Georgia closed. Somebody went missing. You guys think of that?
Well, we need the Victory Lanes in Georgia.
Right. The one in Vermont's not helping us.
How about Virginia?
And we don't. We don't necessarily know
who I've located it.
Oh, there you go. See,
you found it, Sean.
Where?
Fort Benning Road, Columbus, Georgia.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Still open?
Pick up the horn.
I got some friends down at Fort Benning right now.
You got boots on the ground?
Wow.
Yeah, I can have him go take a look.
John's got boots on the ground. See,
all right. This story has legs. As they say in journalism, this story has legs.
You and Greg just talked about this show, The Golden State Killer.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
Right.
Yes.
And it all started with Patton Oswalt's wife, right?
Yes, Michelle McNamara.
So why can't start the Marty Jannetty?
Jannetty already gave us a lot of info here.
Right? Find out who he killed 47 years ago.
I'm looking forward to this. We will have more information, I am sure, as this story unfolds. But coming up next, we will talk with Patriots Hall of Famer Willie McGinnis.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.